This is the September-October edition of Sports Illustrated Kids. I'm Chris Radio Volunteer Michael Prinz. The front cover of the magazine features Jalen Hurts crouching with a football in hand. Headline says, "We've seen the future, it's Jalen Hurts." Our crystal ball and tea leaves tell us a Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl is in the cards. On page 2 and 3, we have a freeze frame titled, "What a Drag." July 12th, 2023, from Calgary, Alberta. In it, it's a picture of what looks like a rider at a rodeo being dragged across the dirt by a horse. It's described, "Things didn't exactly go as planned for this competitor in the wild pony race at the Calgary Stampede. In the event, teams of kids tried to tame and ride a horse as quickly as they can, but this one seemed to have other ideas. The annual Stampede, which includes, among other things, a rodeo, show, and chuck wagon races, drew nearly 1.4 million fans over 10 days. On the next page, we have another freeze frame titled, "In the Blink of an Eye." The picture features women's soccer players in uniforms of blue and yellow, all fighting to headbutt a ball near the goal. It is from July 28th, 2023, Wellington, New Zealand. It's described, "It's too bad Amanda Letstedt had her eyes closed because she missed seeing a very nice goal. The Sweden striker headed home a corner kick against Italy for the second time in a game to put her team up 4-0 en route to a 5-0 victory that clinched the Swedes a spot in the knockout stage where they eliminated the U.S. on penalty kicks." We have a hot take on page 9, written by Kip Shormore, titled, "Too Much Too Soon?" The Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup last season, mercifully ending a one-year playoff drought. Just how long had Knights fans been suffering? The last time they had made the playoffs, in 2021, the U.S. president was Joe Biden. BTS topped the pop charts. Nikola Jokic was the NBA's MVP. I'm talking ancient history here. Of course, those whiny fans in Toronto say they've had it tougher. After all, the last time the team made the finals, the Prime Minister of Canada was Pierre Trudeau, the father of current PM Justin Trudeau, who wasn't even born yet. Most of the TV sets in North America still couldn't show color images. This trivia seems embarrassing for the Maple Leafs now, but when they inevitably make the Stanley Cup final again, whether it's in the upcoming season or in 3024, those factoids will suddenly be cool. Imagine an angry Toronto talk radio caller today. "We haven't won our conference since Trudeau's dad was the prime minister." Now imagine a jovial TV broadcaster introducing a black and white clip. "Tonight's game will be coming to you in HD in full color. But if you had watched the Leafs' last cup final game, it might have looked like this." Droughts are excruciating, but once droughts become gaps, they're cherished. The 5 original World Series pennants at Fenway Park, 1903, 1912, 1915, 1916, and 1918, were, for decades, cruel reminders for Red Sox fans. Now, next to 4 new flags from the 21st century, they're a monument to a century of rich history. 2 dynasties linked by a giant left field wall and a shared sock color. I'm making a very basic point here. The chocolate of victory is never so sweet as when it's covering up the salty pretzel of decade-long futility. So should we envy the Golden Knights fans who have had candy and ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner since their team launched in 2017? Or should we wonder about the inevitable tummy ache when time and the salary cap catch up to them? Vegas famously made the Cup final in the first season, losing to the Washington Capitals. Had they won in their first season, other teams' fans would have really gone ballistic. But this column isn't about whether it's fair that the Golden Knights have been so good so soon. After all, the Seattle Kraken enjoyed the same expansion draft rules, and it took them 2 whole seasons to become good. I'm actually concerned for the Vegas fans. They never even had a professional sports team before the Golden Knights. They're not conditioned for lean years. Will the warm memories of this era comfort them then? Or will it seem like watching a movie after having the ending spoiled? Anticlimactic and a waste of time. But I can hear you shouting at the magazine that you would trade places with Vegas fans in an instant. After all, I'm just a cartoon columnist, first drawn 3 years ago, who is somewhere between 9 and 12 years old, depending on the needs of the comics plot. What do I know about waiting 100 years before championships? At some point, the wait for a parade stops building character and starts feeling like a curse. The Buffalo Bills first made the playoffs in 1963. They went to 4 straight Super Bowls between 1991 and 1994. They've yet to win the Super Bowl. Still, I believe, in the long run, it's better to be in Buffalo rooting for the Sabres and Bills than in Nevada with the Knights and Raiders. Why? Climate change, mostly. Next, on page 12, we have future star, Sofia Rodriguez. Birthplace, La Porte, Texas. Birthdate, October 17th, 2008. Sport, track and field. It's been a whirlwind 2023 for Sofia Rodriguez. In February, she clocked her first sub-5-minute mile, and the video of her run amassed more than 1.5 million views. Then, she broke the 44-year-old U14 world record in the 2-mile, 10:20:68, just before she landed on a Times Square billboard, and set her second U14 world record in the 5,000 meters. I really put my heart into that 5K race, Sofia says. Once I crossed that line, it was the best feeling ever. In the fall, she'll run at Mercer Island, Washington High, with her sister, Victoria. These months, we have some birthdays coming up. September, we have, on the 6th, Canadian tennis star Leila Fernandez turns 21. September 9th, Luke Hughes of the New Jersey Devils is 20 years old. September 18th, the New York, New Jersey, Gotham FC striker Midge Purse celebrates her 28th birthday. September 29th, Phoenix Suns forwards Kevin Durant celebrates his 35th birthday. In October, on October 6th, the Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence has his 24th birthday. October 11th, Minnesota's Timberwolves point guard Mike Conley is 36. October 16th, Philadelphia Phillies slugger Bryce Harper celebrates number 31. October 25th, American professional golfer Xander Schauffele turns 30 years old. Also on page 13, we have spooky stuff going bump in the night. There are many reasons teams that play at home have an advantage. There's the friendly crowd, and players sleep in their own beds, where they don't have to worry about lumpy mattresses, overly fluffy pillows, or ghosts. Yes, ghosts. Specters have been in the news a lot lately. Earlier this summer, Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers opted out of staying at the 130-year-old Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee, due to its reputation for being haunted. Visiting players staying there have reported things like faucets turning on and off on their own. One night, Bryce Harper laid out some clothes on the table and woke up to find the clothes on the floor and the table on the other side of the room. So you can't really blame Betts for renting a house. But unfamiliar homes can be spooky too. New San Francisco 49ers quarterback Sam Darnold stayed in the pool house owned by tight end George Kittle while he looked for his own place. It wasn't the most peaceful situation. Darnold said he felt a presence in the room with him, something that was holding on to him when he woke up. After a week, Darnold finally found his own lodgings and was able to say goodbye to whatever his roommate was. "Freakiest thing," he said. "Freakiest thing indeed." Next, on page 14, we have Drawing from Within Yourself, Art Attack. It features a picture of someone drawing themselves as a track and field runner, and a picture of them in real life drawing said photo on their computer. Last issue, we challenged you to draw a portrait of yourself playing your favorite sport, a self-sport-trit. It's not a clumsy pun at all, it's smooth. Victorious atop our pile of submissions was this dazzling digital piece from Opal Segal, age 14. Opal recently ran the 1,500 and 3,000 meters at the AAU Junior Olympics for her local Maryland team. "I've been running for Seven Locks Running Club for almost 2 years, says Opal, "and just started running with my high school cross-country team." Opal draws on a Wacom tablet attached to a laptop, using a free program that's similar to Photoshop. She prefers working digitally because it allows her to use separate layers and adjust what she's already drawn. That flexibility aided her in packing the portrait with powerful personal details. "I included my Seven Locks jersey, spandex shorts, hair ribbon, spikes, and running watch that I always race in, as well as the short ponytail that I always have," she says. And while she may have drawn herself center frame, Opal is far from self-centered. "Having my hip number be 3 is significant because I'm the youngest of 3 siblings. I enjoyed this portrait challenge immensely, and my siblings were really supportive of it. So I offered to do one of each of them in their respective sports too." In the photo above, Opal is drawing her sister, who plays soccer. "I love running, and I love art," Opal says. "And combining the two is even better." On page 18 and 19, we have Ring Chasers by Sam Page. American sports culture puts championships above all else. So why vilify the athletes who are trying the hardest to win? To the left and right, we have pictures of basketball players being interviewed, looking distraught at various calls a referee has made, and looking angry also. The article continues. "There's nothing wrong with bringing a chocolate pudding with your lunch. It's a tasty dessert. It travels well. It's not especially sugary. Who could possibly object? If, however, you spend Monday through Thursday denouncing the other kids at your table for eating chocolate pudding, don't be surprised if someone has something to say when, on Friday, you open your Superman lunchbox and from behind the Man of Steel emerges a small brown dessert cup." The facts support Damian Lillard's desire to leave the Portland Trail Blazers. The team went 33-49 last season. In his 11 years with the franchise, they've never made it past the conference finals. With the third pick in this year's draft, Portland took another point guard, one who is basically already wearing Lillard's number. Scoot Henderson wears number 00, while Lillard wears just 0. But Dame used to be as famous for not requesting trades as other players were for demanding them. In March, on J.J. Redick's Old Man in the Three podcast, Lillard bemoaned the current obsession with championships. The New York Times ran an article in January entitled, "What Makes Damian Lillard Great? His loyalty to Portland." And, like the hypocritical cafeteria pudding hater, Lillard had once replied to Paul George on Instagram in 2020 with, "Keep switching teams, running from the grid. You boys is chumps." So can he really be surprised when he gets bombarded with tweets about how he's running from the grind? Whatever one thinks about Lillard's trade request, it highlights a simple fact. Ring chasing is all about the context. In the eyes of the fans, it can be either a grave sin, like Kevin Durant, a heartwarming triumph, like Ray Borke, or something in between, like Chris Paul, depending on who is doing it and why. That's why we're breaking down some of the most famous cases, from the infamous to the storybook endings. Below the article, we have a little column that says, Ace Up Her Sleeve. Candace Parker joins the greatest super team ever. Before this WNBA season, Parker signed a Las Vegas Aces team that had cruised to a championship the year before. Now, with the future Hall of Famer as their fifth scoring option, the Aces are nearly running the table, starting the season 24-2. So does Parker deserve scorn for throwing off the competitive balance of the league? Nah, she's more akin to LeBron James than Kevin Durant. She did the hard work of bringing a title to her hometown Chicago Sky. The Aces were going to dominate anyways. And on the right, we have the rare bowl chaser. Von Miller embraces the KD comparison. The idea of a ring chaser barely exists in the NFL. Careers are short. Players fit in where they can. And quarterbacks are so important that teams pursue championships by signing them. Miller is exceptional. He's the rare defensive superstar who has had the longevity to hop from contender to contender. He won Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos, then won LVI with the Rams after a midseason trade. Now he plays for the Bills, another Super Bowl favorite. That's why he compares himself to KD. I've just created this obsession with winning. I'm not afraid to go to another team to do it, Miller told Bleacher Report. Continuing on, we have Corey Perry's endless journey, featuring pictures of him in the various team uniforms he's had over the years. After 14 seasons, and one Stanley Cup, with the Anaheim Ducks, Perry almost became the greatest ring chaser of all time. He signed with the Dallas Stars in 2019-2020, and they lost the Cup Final to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Then, he joined the Montreal Canadiens for one season, and they lost to the Lightning, too. So, he wised up and signed with the Lightning, who lost in the final to the Colorado Avalanche. Now he has been traded to the Blackhawks. Watch out for them to almost win it all. On the bottom, we have the good, the bad, and the funny, with a picture of Shaq O'Neal. Perpetual ring chaser. There are some player jerseys that just look wrong in hindsight, and Shaquille O'Neal wore a bunch of them. Shaq played for the Cavs, the Suns, the Celtics. The iconic Lakers center nabbed 3 titles in LA, then jumped around. He did win it all with Miami in 2006. On page 21, we have Tracy McGrady tries to sneak in a last-minute championship. If you look at McGrady's basketball reference page, you'll notice something odd. The final jersey icon representing the teams he played for is silver and black. Hover over it and it says San Antonio Spurs, 2013. But his stats for 2012 to 2013 read, did not play. McGrady signed with the Spurs in April 2013, joining the team just for the playoffs that season. He didn't make a single basket in that postseason, shooting 0 of 7 and limited playing time, but he almost got his first ring out of it, as the Spurs lost to the Heat in 7. On the rightmost of the page, we have Carlos Beltran goes from scene-stealing to sign-stealing, with a picture of him at bat. Beltran's career is defined for better or for worse by 2 playoff runs with Houston, 13 years apart. In 2004, he joined the Astros and hit a Ruthian 435, 536, and 1.022 in 12 postseason games as the Astros lost in the NLCS. That memory made it all the more special when the Astros brought back an aging Beltran for their 2017 World Series title. The first for player and team. It was a storybook ending to a Hall of Fame career, until the revelation that Beltran had been an architect of the sign-stealing system that had helped the Astros get there. On the bottom of the page we have, not a ring chaser? If you remember Wes Walker, catching lots of passes from Tom Brady and Peyton Manning during his career, you'd be right. If you remember him winning Super Bowls, your mind is playing tricks on you. Despite his star quarterbacks, Welker was 0-4 in the big game. Patient ring chaser. For a brief moment in time, Marian Hossa was every NHL fan's favorite trivia answer. In the 2008 Cup Final, he lost to the Red Wings as a member of the Penguins. And in 2009, he lost as a Red Wing to the Penguins. Eventually, however, he lifted the cup 3 times with Chicago. On page 35, we have an article by Sam Page. Frankly, our predictions lately haven't been the most accurate, so this time we're trying anything and everything. Astrology, numerology, the thing with the teacup, mystic predictions. And on the left of that, there's a number of phony tarot cards with things like the star, the past, the present, the future, with pictures of various sports stars. On page 36, we have World of Hurts. These predictions will go from the most obvious to the most far-fetched. So, first up, an easy one. The future is bright for our cover star, Jalen Hurts. In 2020, he was a second-round pick. In 21, he became the Eagles' starting quarterback. Last season, he finished second in MVP voting after posting a 14-1 record in 15 starts. That's a pretty clear trajectory. So what's in store in 23? Maybe not that MVP award. We've got another idea for who takes that. But everything else is on the table, including a Super Bowl ring. After a stellar 2022, the Eagles nabbed arguably the best player in the 23 draft, defensive tackle Jalen Carter. With Hurts leading the offensive and Carter joining the defense, the Eagles are an easy pick to win it all. To the right, we have a picture of Jalen Hurts in the Eagles uniform. And right below that, we have past due Bills. It pains us to pick the Bills to lose the Super Bowl for a 5th time, but it seems inevitable. Getting past the Bengals and the Chiefs in the AFC will be no easy feat. Buffalo drafted well, adding a big target for Josh Allen and tight end Dalton Kincaid. Don't worry, Bills Mafia. We foresee the drought ending soon. Next page, on the left, we have Rising Sun. After reading our breakdown of ring chasers on page 18, you may get the feeling we've been down on Kevin Durant. But as you no doubt learned in that feature, not everyone is good at picking winners. In addition to immense talent, KD has exquisite taste. The Suns were the only team to take the Nuggets to 6 games last season. This is their year. And right below that, we have Crystal Ball. The past 2 seasons have ended with Georgia's Kirby Smart hoisting the coach's trophy, also known as the Crystal Football. But we don't need a crystal ball of our own to know that the Bulldogs are heavily favored for a three-peat. Carson Beck seems destined to succeed after taking over under center. On the right, we have the Knights of the Cup, which is a fake tarot card featuring 2 horse-backed knights wielding hockey sticks, carrying between them a silver trophy cup. Vegas has known nothing but good fortune since it entered the league in 2017. But in this desert town, nobody beats the odds forever. The Knights begin their title defense with a team good enough to repeat. But in a flat-cap league, the deck is always stacked against the reigning champs. We predict the Knights will mount a valiant run toward the Western Conference Finals, where they'll be vanquished by our pick for this year's NHL champs. On the lower right, we have Believe It or Not. 6 seasons from expansion to cup is the new NHL record. More mystic predictions on the next page. We have Shrouded in Mystery on the left. Before the 2022 college football season even began, many, way too early, 2023 NFL mock drafts had C.J. Stroud going first to the Houston Texans. Stroud did end up on the Texans, of course, but not before considerable debate about his status as a prospect. At some point in the process, Stroud took a back seat to Alabama's Bryce Young as the top quarterback in the draft. Then, rumors swirled around that Stroud scored poorly on the S2 cognition test, which supposedly measures a prospect's ability to think quickly. "I'm a football player. I'm not an S2 taker," Stroud said. Prognosticators wondered whether Stroud would be the third or even fourth QB taken. But for all the reasons Stroud was seen as the likely number one pick once upon a time, his accuracy and strength throwing the ball, he'll come out of the gate strong and be the NFL's offensive rookie of the year this season. On the right side of the same page, we have NFL's Meadowland Magic. What is it about legendary quarterbacks finding a new life on their second teams? Tom Brady threw for 5,000 yards at age 44 as a member of the Buccaneers. Peyton Manning won MVP in his second season as a Bronco. A-Rod wins his fifth MVP award under the bright lights of New York. Directly to the right of that, we have, believe it or not, 1.4%, which is Rodgers' career pick percentage on NFL record. Below that, we have what looks like a cup with fake tea leaves that look like a sports bracket sort of thing. Underneath is reading the tea leaves, which is T-Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs finally won a playoff round last season, but it wasn't enough for a fan base expecting a deep run. That disappointment led to a change at the top, as Brad Treloving became the new general manager. He received mixed reviews for his first free agency class of Tyler Bertuzzi, Max Domi, John Klingberg, and Ryan Reeves. But locker room chemistry is strange alchemy. For the Leafs, it will all add up to a conference championship. On the next page, we have a phony tarot card with two players that look like they are wizards. One is wearing a robe, a blue robe with Banchero, and the other one with a white robe with Kuzma. On the bottom is spell trouble. Okay, we'll level with you. There was no way we could do an entire issue of mystical predictions without mentioning the NBA's Magic and Wizards. Unfortunately, both teams are pretty bad. But that does set them up for another kind of battle, an otherworldly race to the bottom. There's no clear top prospect yet in the 2024 draft class, but these teams will have the top two picks. Next page, we have the past, present, and future of Arch Manning. Predicting next season is boring. Anyone can look a few feet down the road. So, befitting a figure as mystical and mythical as the fourth Manning, here's a long-term outlook on Texas's freshman quarterback. And, of course, to the right of this, there are three tarot cards titled The Past, The Present, and The Future. In the past, it is three players, which I can assume are the Mannings, holding up a golden glowing baby who himself is holding a golden football. The present is a tarot card showing the baby has grown into a young adult and is throwing a football while atop a horse. He is throwing the football at the sun. And the last one, the tarot card titled The Future, shows the three Mannings from before now have old, long, white beards and are worshiping the younger Manning, who has a football jersey on and is holding up a trophy for winning the Super Bowl. Below that, we have Quinn Ewers got a vote of confidence in the summer from Coach Steve Sarkisian. But great QB careers often start with a backup suddenly overthrowing a seemingly entrenched starter. Arch will take over the season on the road against Houston and never look back. From there, he will end up on his uncle's New York Giants and win four Super Bowls, the most in the family for now. And below that is "The Stars Align," with a picture of three hockey players in the Dallas Stars uniforms. We've already mentioned that the Knights and Leafs will fall just short this coming season. But now our vision is becoming a little clearer. The Dallas Stars nearly caught the Avalanche in the Central Division last year. Then, they added Capricorn Matt Duchene in free agency for cheap. This goat may not be the goat, but he doesn't have to be on a team led by rising star Jason Robertson. Texas is known for its big, clear skies, perfect for looking into the heavens. Just to the right of that, on the next page, we have the King, NBA. How many MVP awards should LeBron James have, honestly? In 19 NBA seasons, he's really been the best player only 4 times? With these kinds of honors, there's always a desire to give it to someone new. But in a season when there's no clear-cut favorite, any trophy can become something of a lifetime achievement award as well. MVP number 5 in season 20? That sounds about right. And directly to the left of that, we have the man in question, LeBron James, holding a trophy. On the rightmost side of this, we have NHL, gone in a flash. Wayne Gretzky holds plenty of seemingly unbreakable NHL records, but hockey's most unrepeatable feat might just be Teemu Selänne's 76 goals as a rookie. Even Alexander Ovechkin, poised to break Gretzky's record for all-time goals, had just 52 in his first season. It would take an unusual set of circumstances for a first-year player to threaten the Finnish Flash. Elite finishing ability, yes, but also ample playing time in a high-scoring environment. Enter Connor Bedard. The Blackhawks' top pick had 71 goals in 57 games in the WHL last season. He'll presumably be playing on a line with Taylor Hall, who knows how to pass. 76 goals? Maybe not. But league scoring is trending up. Let's predict 60 goals and see where he goes from there. Even more mystic predictions on the next page. On the leftmost, we have MLB, the Seer. Our vision may not prove to be that keen. Please don't email Kip about how many predictions we get wrong in this issue. But one guy who can absolutely see all is MLB umpire Pat Hoberg, who has become something of an internet legend for his accuracy calling balls and strikes. Improved pitch tracking data led to the creation of the very unofficial social media account @UmpScorecards. It publishes visual report cards on every game's home plate umpire, and Hoberg has been earning top marks. He really sent his fans into a frenzy when he earned the first perfect scorecard, and he did it during Game 2 of the 2022 World Series. Clearly, Hoberg is going to get more opportunities to call the Fall Classic, and we think there will be another perfecto. And right above that is the man in question. On the right of that page is WNBA in the cards. It takes a lot of confidence to name yourself the Aces, but Las Vegas has stacked the deck for years to come. That's right, we're not just predicting a repeat championship. We foresee a true dynasty run, the likes of which modern sports has not ever seen. It's possible, however, that by the time this magazine reaches you, the Aces have already been eliminated. In which case, the run starts next year. Right below that is NCAA. Do that voodoo that you do, which has a mock voodoo doll of a football player. Is the Heisman Trophy cursed? Maybe when it comes to winning bowl games, but as a predictor of future NFL success, it seems like a better than 50-50 proposition. In recent history, the award has been nabbed by future stars like Derrick Henry, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. So obviously we're due for a Heisman winner who isn't a great pro. Be careful not to play too well this year. The next page we have NHL. The heir. Last year, we predicted Connor McDavid would be the NHL's MVP. and we were happy to take the easy W. But the whole point of prognosticating is to make 30 wild calls and then talk nonstop about the one you get right. Nobody remembers the 50th magazine to pick McDavid. They remember the one Brave magazine that picked anyone else. So we're going with anyone else. Hey, we said bold predictions. Not clever. The next page starts with, we've fanned out our tarot cards, and we're seeing something very interesting brewing in the Motor City. A Detroit team will make the playoffs in this upcoming season. No, two will. Which two? We couldn't say. But perhaps the order of these cards isn't a coincidence. And the cards in question are the Wheel of Sportune and the Lion. The Wheel of Sportune has two octopuses, and the Lion, of course, has a lion. The next page starts with a flaming bird skull that has the caption, A Bird Reborn. After voters in Tempe rejected a stadium deal in May, the Arizona Coyotes' days in the desert seem numbered. Everyone has a preferred destination for relocating the Yotes, but we're students of history. We know that whenever the NHL can put a team in Atlanta, they'll try it. After the Flames and the Thrashers left town, maybe the third time's the charm, the Coyotes, originally the Winnipeg Jets, become the new Thrashers, while the old Thrashers are the new Winnipeg Jets. Not confusing at all. The planets align. Sometimes, late in the baseball playoffs, there is a sports equinox when the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL all have games on the same day. We think there will be a very witchy such day this Halloween. A game in all four leagues, and a horrible dropped ball in all four games. And last in the Mystic Predictions, it's raining now. Go ahead and walk outside. It's actually raining. Pretty freaky, huh? How did we know? Oh, it's sunny? Well, maybe you listened to this part too soon. Go back and listen again, very slowly. You're listening to someone reading a magazine, though, right? We called that. I bet.
Prediction not valid in certain climates.
On page 46, we have Complaint Department. Just a job. Going from left to right, we have a picture of Nikola Jokic, which is him after winning the finals and finals MVP, which is just a picture of him sort of looking like he's sort of just shrugging, almost. And the quote beneath is from him. It's good. The job is done. We can go home now. To the right is another player, a tennis player named Andre Agassi, who says, I play tennis for a living, even though I hate tennis. I hate it with a dark and secret passion, and always have. And that's from his book, Open. Directly to the right of him is a female swimmer, Natalie Coughlin, who says to the New Yorker, If college wasn't around and I wasn't going to get a free education out of it, I would have quit. I hated swimming. On the next page, left to right again, there is a football player, Curtis Martin, in his Hall of Fame speech. I knew the only way I was ever going to be successful is if I played for a purpose that was bigger than the game itself. Because I knew, the love for the game just wasn't in my heart. To the right of him, we have Anthony Reddington, a baseball player, saying to the Washington Post, I don't watch baseball. It's too long and boring. To the right of him is the tennis player Serena Williams. I mean, I don't love tennis today, but I'm here and I can't live without it. So I'm still here and I don't want to go anywhere anytime soon. It's not that I've fallen out of love. I've actually never liked sports, and I never understood how I became an athlete. To the right of her, we have Bobby Zamora with their foot on a ball. I'm not a massive football fan, really. Quite a lot more players than let on are the same. I don't watch games on an evening or anything like that. A lot of people find it strange. To the right of him is Anthony Edwards to the ESPN saying, "To be honest, I can't watch basketball. I'm still not really into it." And on the bottom is Nikola Jokic's hilariously nonchalant comments after the NBA Finals. "Nobody likes his job. Amused fans. But he's not the first person to seem all over it." Now we go to page 48 and 49. On the left is Ground Gamer. "In addition to throwing for 4,321 yards, May ran for 698 yards and 7 touchdowns." And it's a picture of the man in question, Drake May, leaping over other players. On page 49, it says, "Drake May, North Carolina quarterback. In his first season as a starter, the Tar Heels QB rewrote the school's record book and was the ACC Player of the Year. Now he's got his sights set even higher." By Ross Dellinger. If you look inside North Carolina's Dean Dome, you might find a group of May brothers playing King of the Court, their family's go-to game. It's simple enough. One brother faces another one-on-one in basketball. The winner stays on the court, and the loser is replaced by another brother. It's a more than 10-year-old tradition among the four May boys, raised by their parents in the hills of North Carolina. They played the game on a four-car concrete driveway with a drawn-on three-point arc encircling a basketball hoop. Games were so intense that the boy's dad, Mark, supervised. Once, the youngest brother, Drake, slammed headfirst into the concrete, earning him stitches. To this day, he remains the baby of the group, from more than one perspective. At 6'5", he's the shortest of the lot. "He rides in the back of the car," says Luke, laughing. The good news is, basketball isn't his game. In a matter of weeks last fall, Drake ascended to college football stardom. He won the Tar Heels starting quarterback competition 10 days before their season opener, and then broke records on his way to becoming a Heisman Trophy contender. Previously known to Carolina fans more for his brother's success, Luke played forward for UNC's men's hoops program from 2015 to 19. Suddenly, Drake became Chapel Hill's Big May on campus. But in the family hierarchy, he remains last. "I'm the runt," Drake deadpans. Drake and Bo, a junior walk-on for the UNC basketball team, share an apartment in Chapel Hill, where the school is located. And this summer, they hosted Luke after he returned from a stint playing hoops overseas. The trio restarted the family tradition of the King and the Court in Carolina's hallowed gym, where Luke once starred. But now, his little brother is all the rage, a do-it-all, dual-threat quarterback. Drake shattered the UNC single-season record for yards passing, 4,321, and tied the school's mark for touchdown passes, 38. He averaged more offensive yards in a game, 358.5, than 36 teams in college football, and became just the third quarterback in the last decade to average more than 300 yards passing, while leading his team in rushing. The other two? Two-time NFL MVP Patrick Mahomes and Heisman winner Johnny Manziel. Family tradition. Drake grew up in an athletic family. His mom, Amy, played hoops and golf before attending North Carolina. While there, she met Mark, a two-time All-ACC selection at quarterback. Amy is 5'11", and Mark is 6'4". Naturally, they produce giants. Luke is 6'8", Cole is 6'7", and Bo is 6'9". Drake was a late bloomer, Luke recalls. He was shorter in all the family pictures, but he sprouted quickly. Drake began youth football as a linebacker and running back, but by junior high, had moved to QB. He had plenty to toughen him up. When not outside on the court, the brothers were inside wrestling and eating. There were lamps broken and the normal holes in the wall, says Mark. Around the dinner table, he says. It sometimes felt like the locker room. Like his parents and two brothers, Drake chose North Carolina. The only May who didn't go to Chapel Hill was Cole, who helped Florida win the 2017 College World Series as a lefty pitcher. After a redshirt season, Drake won a tight quarterback battle. In a matter of weeks, he went from not knowing whether he'd start to become the first UNC quarterback to throw for 5 touchdowns in his debut against Florida A&M. He threw for 4 more the next week against Appalachian State. He led the Tar Heels to a 9-1 start before the team hit a 4-game skid. Without that losing streak, says his coach, Mac Brown, May would have been in New York for the Heisman. Drake dispels any notion that he is some Mr. Perfect. Unprompted, he identifies his failures off the field. He consumes too many milkshakes. And on it, he needs to improve his footwork and stop risking injury in his running game. But his importance to the program is easy to see. Last December, Phil Longo left his post as UNC offensive coordinator for the same job at Wisconsin. Brown made the unusual decision to involve May in interviews during the search for Longo's replacement. Separately, Brown and then May interviewed candidates. Then, they came together to make the decision. Knowing he's that valued made it easy for May to ignore the temptation to do what so many other players have done and enter the transfer portal in search of a more lucrative opportunity. Pitt coach Pat Narduzzi caused buzz this spring when he publicly suggested that teams were offering May $5 million to leave UNC. Even Brown, during a December interview, revealed that May turned down a whole lot of money to stay in Chapel Hill. No, May believes he can help deliver North Carolina to a national title. And when it comes to financial opportunities, he'd rather use his influence to arrange name, image, and likeness deals for his receivers and offensive linemen. Says Brown, he's a special combination of everything good in our sport. On page 52, we have End Zone with What's the Call? Number 1. Check, please. Whitney's Wings are playing Buzz's Bruins in hockey under NHL rules. Tied 5-all, after overtime, the teams advance to a shootout. Before Whitney goes to shoot, Buzz calls for a stick check. Liz measures Whitney's stick and finds it to be legal. Whitney says there should be a penalty for Buzz wasting everyone's time. Is there? The answer? When a stick is measured to be legal in a shootout attempt, the complaining team loses their next attempt. Per NHL rules, the coach is also fined $1,000 and the team fined $5,000. But Buzz doesn't have that kind of cash. End zone number 2, Lucky Bounce. The Annandale Cobras are playing the Hudson Scorpions in baseball under MLB rules. In the 7th inning, the Cobras bring in erratic reliever Dexton Portman. With a full count on a Scorpions hitter, Portman throws a sweeper that bounces in the dirt in front of home plate. Due to the spin on the pitch, however, it caroms up to the batter's knees, crossing the plate in the strike zone, where it is nabbed by the Cobras catcher Ronnie Witt. The Scorpions argue that any pitch that bounces in the dirt is ball 4, but Witt caught it in the zone. What's the call? The answer? The pitch is a ball, and the batter walks. Any pitch that bounces off the ground and into the strike zone is a ball. Oh, that's the wrong one. Damn it. End zone number 3. Let it slide. In a football game played under NCAA rules, the Big State Cougars are driving on offense against the Tiny Tech Jaguars. Facing a blitz, Cougars QB Eric Ortega scrambles outside of the pocket and runs downfield. 7 yards past the line of scrimmage, Ortega finds himself one-on-one with Jaguars linebacker Bryce Hopkins. Ortega seemingly begins to slide and Hopkins stops his momentum and pulls up to avoid a personal foul. Before he hits the ground, however, Ortega pops back up and blows past Hopkins. The Jaguars complain that the fake slide is unfair to Hopkins. But is it legal? The answer? The fake slide was made illegal under the Kenny Pickett rule. Ortega is ruled down where he initiated the fake slide. Next up, we have Mystery Athlete. Clue number one. The mystery athlete played football for Channelview, Texas High School, where his dad was the coach. He was also a powerlifter. Clue number two. In 2019, the mystery athlete transferred from Alabama to Oklahoma. He led the Sooners to a Big 12 championship. Clue number three. The Philadelphia Eagles drafted the mystery athlete in the second round of the 2020 draft. He made the Pro Bowl in 2022. Did you guess it? The mystery athlete is Jalen Hurts, Eagles quarterback. Next, we have Trivia Challenge. Alyssa Thompson made the U.S. World Cup roster as a teenager, but New Jersey high schooler Casey Fair became the youngest player in tournament history representing which country? Is it A, France, B, Argentina, or C, South Korea? The answer? It's C, South Korea. And with that, this completes the September-October edition of Sports Illustrated Kids. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Michael Prinz. Thank you for listening.